Thank you, ladies. Appreciate that this morning. This time we'll have our super church dismissed and the nurseries available for those little tiny ones. And appreciate those teaching the children this morning and taking care of them, even in the Sunday school, teaching our children the Word of God. It's good to have the Garners with us. They're in what's involved in what's called home missions. So they're assisting and helping young churches and then pastors and missionaries. Sometimes they need help or they need to be gone for a while, and they'll come in and help with those and assist them. And so they've had some experience over the years and been involved in planting churches, seeing souls saved, people baptized, people discipled and walking with the Lord. And this is absolutely what we want to see continue to happen in our lives. Sometimes you just have to stop and take stock and say, have I seen myself growing spiritually? And then who else have I pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ and bringing others to the Lord as well? Brother Garner, would you come this morning and open God's word for us and preach that God has for us today? It's a privilege to have you here. And we appreciate you.
Good to be here. Thank you so much. It's good to be here with you folks. And good to see this crowd of young folks and old folks, and all kinds of folks. My wife and I came to Calgary, Alberta in 1972. And previous to that, we had been grew up in Denver, Colorado. I was saved at the Denver Baptist Temple under Brother Al Lacey. My wife was saved at a church in a city also. And my wife is here. Honey, would you stand? And her name is Karen. And we have been married 57 years this September. Been a sure bliss for me, and a monstrous achievement for her. So we are happy to be here. Thank you, Pastor Friesen, for having us here. Thank you for the beautiful apartment last night. That was such a blessing. And my wife and I were saved in Denver, and let me just give you a brief overview of our experience. I was an assistant pastor for Brother Lacey there in Denver for a couple of years. Then we went to Canyon City, Colorado, and started a church in Canyon City. And the Lord blessed there. We saw a fruitful ministry. We surrendered to go to the mission field. And we decided to come to Canada through a number of different circumstances. And we came in 1972 to Calgary, started a church in Calgary. And then we went from Calgary a few years later to Kelowna, British Columbia, and spent 14 years in Kelowna, 20 years in Canada, and we are coming back again, hopefully. we had determined to come and start a church here in British Columbia. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed with carcinoid cancer. I never heard of carcinoid, but they tell me it's a slow grower, and one of the doctors said something else will probably get you before this does, and another one said, if you could choose your cancers, this would be the one to pick. So I take all that as good news. I feel good. And I've had a good deal of experience. I mentioned this morning, many times when you support a young missionary, young missionaries kind of fall by the wayside sometimes by attrition. It's a hard thing to go to a strange mission field. We came to Canada, and this is very much like the United States. So we didn't have near the culture shock that a lot of missionaries have. And many times they can't deal with the language, many times the culture, sometimes for many different reasons they just can't seem to make it and fall by the wayside. But I would encourage you to trust an old, experienced missionary. Hardest thing about aging is getting used to being the same age as old people. And we're gradually getting used to that. I pastored in Loveland, Colorado. We went back to the States in 91. And I pastored in Loveland and one other place before we decided to come back to Canada. And since our doctors were so responsive, and since Canada would require us to provide our own health insurance, and since our doctors were very familiar with my case, and I need monitoring about every 3 months just to see how things are progressing, so we just thought that it would not be smart to uproot ourselves and move permanently to Canada, at least not right now. So our object is to be a home missionary. On our card it says home missionaries at large. At large is not a boast, it's just an attempt to describe what we are available for. We are available to be interim pastor at a church that needs a pastor for a while. We are available to fill a pulpit if a preacher needs to be gone. And the thing we really want to do is be directly involved in helping young men or old men to start churches and knock doors for them, preach special services, and whatever we can do to advance the cause of the Lord. So we look forward to that, and we would love to have your prayers and your support. And we thank you very much again for the privilege of being here. I want to speak to you this morning about the subject, how long does conversion take? How long does it take to be converted? Matthew chapter 18 and verse 1 to 4. Same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege of being here today. Thank you for this good pastor and his wife and these good people. We pray, Lord, that you speak to hearts today. We pray if there be anyone here today who does not know the Lord Jesus as Savior, that they would come to know him, believe on him, repent and turn from their sins and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for each one here. Lord, each one has particular burdens and situations in their life, and we pray that you'd give wisdom and guidance and grace to meet all those needs. We pray your blessing upon this church, and we pray, Lord, your will be done in each heart and life here today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. How long does conversion take? Some people would say, well, it's a matter of catechism. I had a pastor friend, he's a pastor now, he was my roommate in Bible college, and he said when he was a young man, he got saved as a Lutheran. And while he was a Lutheran, there was a group of young men who would meet with a Lutheran pastor, and the Lutheran pastor would bring a six-pack of beer, and they would drink beer and study the catechism. Lutheran, Germany, you know, beer's a big deal. But he never heard anything about how to be saved. But the pastor would drink beer and study the catechism. And I don't know how the catechism works. I've never been in a church that uses a catechism. Spurgeon spoke about a catechism. Catechism is not wrong. Catechism is a method of learning by answering questions. That's a good way to learn. But a lot of churches have a catechism. And their idea is if you can learn all these things and be able to parrot them back to somebody and you learn enough, or you take a test, get 85% correct, well, then you're a Lutheran, or you're a Catholic, or you're a Presbyterian, or you're whatever. Salvation doesn't come by learning a bunch of stuff. Some of us are not very good at learning stuff, right? And aren't you glad you don't have to learn a lot of stuff? To be saved, you have to learn a few things. You have to know you're a sinner. You have to realize and believe that Jesus Christ is God the Son, God Himself in human flesh. I don't understand that, but I believe it. God came to visit us in the person of Jesus Christ. He laid his life down on the cross and paid for your sins and mine. And if you will believe it and receive it and come to him, you can be saved, your sins will be forgiven, and you will have a home in heaven. I knocked on a door one time, And a man came to the door. I handed him a tract and began to witness to him. And I said, if you died today, would you go to heaven? He said, I think I would. I said, why do you think you would? Well, in such and such a time, I got baptized. And I went to confession, and I participated in communion. And yes, I think I would. I questioned him a little more. He was a Lutheran pastor in Kelowna. And he began his salvation, his conversion experience, with his baptism. Baptism doesn't save you. Makes you wet. It's a beautiful picture of the death. That's why we Baptists baptize by immersion. The death, going down in the water. And the burial, that's going under the water. And resurrection, coming up out of the water. Romans chapter 6, that's the figure of baptism. To sprinkle somebody doesn't mean anything. If you had an old dead horse on your property and you sprinkled a shovel full of dirt on that horse, would he be buried? No, your nose will tell you in a few days that horse is now buried. And so we baptize people. We are deep water Baptists. That's the Baptist way. Baptism means immerse. It's a Greek word. We transliterated that word. When you transliterate a word, it means you snatch it by the nape of the neck in one language, and you pull it over and plop it into another language and use the word unchanged. That's what baptism is. It's Greek baptizo, which means bury, plunge, dip. So I was baptized, he said. Well, that's not how you get saved. I remember reading about Malcolm Muggeridge. Have you ever heard of Malcolm Muggeridge? One, two, three. Malcolm Muggeridge was supposedly converted in a Billy Graham crusade many years ago in Great Britain. He was a British broadcaster, very well known in Great Britain. And someone asked him how it was to be converted. And he said it was a long, agonizing process. Bible conversion is not a long, agonizing process. That emphasizes the idea of work, me doing something, me accomplishing something great and hard and difficult, and finally when I reach the mountaintop, then I'm saved. It doesn't work that way. Conversion is simply to come to Jesus Christ. The Bible describes conversion in different ways. I knocked on a door one time, and a lady came to the door, began to witness to her, and gave her one of our gospel tracts. We have this same tract. And I said, ma'am, if you were to die today, do you know you would go to heaven? And she said, well, I think I would. And I said, well, why do you think you would? Why would you go to heaven? She said, well, I'm a good person. I go to church. I've raised my kids right. And I do good to people. And I do this and I do that. And listed all the good things she could think about that she does. And therefore, she said, I think I would go to heaven. So I said, well, ma'am, suppose you get to heaven because you've done all these good deeds. Well, then tell me this. Why did Jesus Christ die on the cross? Yeah. And she thought a minute, and she said, that's a good question. That's the question. Jesus died on the cross for your sins, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us, the Bible says. Well, my sermon title is, how long does it take to be converted? Let me answer that question by asking another question. How long does it take to repent? Repentance, it means to turn around. It means you're going one direction and you turn. John the Baptist came preaching, repent. He came preaching to turn the hearts of the children to the fathers and the hearts of the fathers to the children. The fathers had to turn. Sometimes fathers have to turn and repent, change their ways. Children have to repent. We're not saved by our works. We're not saved by what we do, but salvation always revolves around repentance. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Whatever repentance is, if you don't repent, you're going to be lost and you will perish. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. How long does it take to turn? My wife and I were driving in Kansas one time years ago, and we were headed for Oklahoma. And all of a sudden, I'm driving along, and we were navigating together, and I see a sign that says, "Welcome to Oklahoma." So we had to find a place to turn around. Sometimes it's hard to get turned on the interstate. And we turned around and we went the other way. I was not going to get where I was going if I didn't turn. I had to turn. Repent ye, the scripture says. In Jeremiah 25 and verse 5, Jeremiah said, "Turn from your evil way." Turn away from it. Turn from sin and turn to Jesus Christ. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. This involves the will. When you come to Christ, Jesus said to certain people at one time, he said, "Ye will not come to me that you might have life." He didn't say you can't come to me. He didn't say you're too smart to come to me. He just said you will not come to me that you might have life. It involves the will. You must submit your will to him. And you know, we are terribly proud people. I know the pride was Satan's great sin. His heart was lifted up, and he thought he could take the position of God. Pride is a terrible sin. I think probably pride is the root of all sins. Yeah. And we just have to come down off our high horse and admit, yes, I'm a sinner. And Jesus died for me, and I need to receive him as my Savior. How long does it take to turn? How long does it take to come? "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden," Jesus said, "and I will give you rest." Just come. How long does it take to come? I have, I have in my pocket a well-used loony. Now, how many kids do we have here, 12 years old and younger? The first one of you to come here, I'll give you this loony. Okay, go. Okay, he's lying. Sorry. Hey, son, what's his name? You were second. It was a close second, right? See the beautiful lady in the pink sweater there? That's my wife. She has lots of money. I know because I'm always asking her for money. And she probably has another loony. If you'll go to her, she'll probably give you one, okay? Good. Thank you, boys. How long does it take to come? It doesn't take very long to come. Just come. And that's how you get saved. Just come to the Lord and trust him as your Savior. Revelation 22 and verse 17. Three times it says, "Come, take of the water of life freely. And let him as that is athirst come. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." It doesn't take long to come. Just come. Well, let me answer it another way, but asking another question. How long does it take to be born? Now, some of you ladies, of course, you're familiar with the gestation period. You probably argue with me here. I'm not talking about the whole process, but I mean the birth itself. When a child is born, people take note of the clock. They write it down, 10, 17 and a half, Sunday morning, such and such. They write the date down. And that's a big deal because that's when you were born. That's when you first drew a breath of air. And that's important to us. How long does it take to be born? It's something that takes place in a very short period of time. Peter said, 1 Peter 1:23, "Being born again, not of corrupt seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Doesn't take long to be born. It's a short time. Another question, how long does it take to be converted? Well, how long does it take to receive something? The Bible says that we are to receive the Lord. Whosoever receiveth him shall be saved. Receive him. Ever have somebody come to your door with a package? Now, back in the old days, this shows you how old I am. Back in the old days, a guy used to come with a clipboard and a pen and has his package under his arm and said, now, will you sign for this? You had to sign for it and receive it. Nowadays, they just leave it on the step and wait for you to come home. It doesn't take long to receive something. It used to be, and again, I'm betraying my age again here. It used to be in those old-fashioned telephones with a receiver like this and a springy cord that attaches to the wall. You know, remember those? Some of you remember those. You do this too, you know. And anyway, how long does it take to receive a call? I remember one time years ago, I called my wife. I was off at Bible college. I had been home for the summer, and I had noticed her. And at Bible college, I made my first phone call to her house, and I was hoping her dad would not answer. He was a short man. He was about 5'6". But you didn't want to get on his bad side. So anyway, I made this phone call, put all the coins, remember that, put feeding coins to the telephone, and dialed her number. And did he answer? That's right, he did. He did answer. And I had to get past the guard at the gate to talk to my future wife. And it was kind of a scary thing to do, but I did it. And the operator had to say, this is a long-distance call, will you receive this call? He could have said, no, I want that guy out of my life. but he accepted the call, and we talked. And pretty soon we got married, and we've been married for 57 years now. How long to receive? How many of you kids are looking forward to Christmas? What are you asking for Christmas? Just something good, huh? Yeah. I remember when I was a boy, we would anticipate Christmas. And it seemed like Christmas took forever to ever come around. It took so long for Christmas to come. And then as we got closer to Christmas, my brother and I, he was the instigator. It was all his fault. And we would search the house for unusual packages, see what we could find, you know. So we looked around to try to find something. And sometimes we did, and sometimes we did not. But at Christmas time, we receive gifts. And I'm sure that's inspired by the gifts of the wise men, brought myrrh and frankincense. And what was it? Myrrh, frankincense? Was it?
Gold, frankincense, myrrh, frankincense.
Anyway, you know, they brought gifts. And we look forward to that. And it's a joyous time. And the giving of gifts really represents the great gift that God has given. Now, the world has forgotten that. And all the world thinks about is materialism. But thank the Lord for the good things God has given us. How long does it take to be converted? How long does it take to receive a gift? How long does it take to accept? Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6, the Bible says we are accepted in the beloved. Another one of the wonderful things about Christianity. In the Quran, there's nothing there about acceptance. The word love does not appear. in that book. Allah, who is an imaginary God, is an unpredictable tyrant. But the Bible says that we are accepted in the Beloved. One of the most important things for children and young people as they grow up is to be accepted. And one of the reasons so many kids' lives get ruined by gangs and drugs and all the wickedness that goes on in our world today is because they want to be accepted. They want somebody to approve of them. They want some crowd to run with. They want somebody to identify with. This is who I am. This is what I am. And that's a natural thing. We need to identify with the right people, the right thing. And the most important alliance you can ever make is with the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God in human flesh. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be accepted in Him. Prodigal son, you remember reading in Luke chapter 15, the young man demanded his inheritance, and the father gave him his inheritance. Must have been a pretty good sum. And he took his inheritance and he went into a strange land and he wasted the inheritance on wine, women, and song. And when he ran out of money, he ran out of friends. There was no friends. And he wound up in the hog trough feeding pigs. What's a good Jewish boy doing feeding hogs anyway? And that's where he was, feeding the pigs. And the Bible says that he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the pigs did eat. How many of you have ever been on the hog farm?
Yeah.
Not too many. How do you like the smell of pigs? Pigs stink. I never could figure out how pigs could stink so bad and bacon could taste so good. But it's that way. Pigs. Can you imagine being down on your hands and knees and cheek by jowl with a smelly pig, a pig on either side, and eating the same slop they eat? That's how the Bible describes the world. You know, people are just swelling up the hog slop of the world, all the wicked stuff that brings corruption and disappointment. Lives are being destroyed. Our culture in the United States was built on Christian principles. It's the same here. Sir Leonard Tilley, one of your founders of Confederation, they were trying to decide what to call the new country. They didn't want to call it a monarchy like England, and they didn't want to call it a republic like the United States to the south. But Leonard Tilley was a Bible reader, and he read in Psalm 71 about God's dominion being over all the earth. And he said, what about we call it the Dominion of Canada? And they did. And in that passage of Scripture also it speaks about, define the phrase, from sea to sea. And from sea to sea is a Canadian motto. So, you know, you had Bible-believing people here. Our culture used to be based on the Scripture. We believed the Scriptures, our law courts, and everything about our culture. Here in North America, it used to be based on Scripture, and even unsaved people would not argue with that. They knew the Ten Commandments were good. That's the basic law of the land, and we need to obey those commandments. When we break them, there's nothing but trouble. And now, they want the Ten Commandments out of the schools. They want them off the courthouse grounds. What a shame. We have a society now here in North America that has come to the place where it has rejected God and is promoting by legislation and by judicial decree wicked practices that the Bible condemns. They're dark days. A prodigal son wallowed with the hogs. And when you wallow with the hogs, you'll smell like the hogs. And I'm sure he did. But the Bible says there, in Luke 15, He ran out of money. He ran out of friends. And he came to himself. And he said, I know what I'll do. I will arise and I will go to my father. And I will say to my father, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And so he arose and brushed the slop off as well as he could. And he went for home. And you know, I can imagine. I imagine that old father. Now, some of you here have been through this. The heartbreak of a wayward child. And what a weight that is on the parent's heart. That old father, I'm sure, the next day after that boy left, he went out about his business and looked down that road, went on his way. Day after day went by, and I don't think there was a day that father didn't look wistfully down that road and remember that boy leaving, thinking he knew it all. He had lots of money. Money would never run out. Fun would never cease. What a foolish boy. That old father every day looked down the road for that boy to return. And one day, he looked down the road, his old eyes were a little blurry. He wiped his eyes and he looked again, and there was the boy. He was coming home, and the father ran to meet him. And the boy, I'm sure, ran to meet his father. And the father grabbed that boy and hugged him, pig, slop, corn husks, and all. And he welcomed him home, and he ordered a great feast to be set and brought him a robe and new shoes, put a ring on his finger, and celebrated, for that boy had returned. What a blessing it was that boy came back. That boy was accepted. How long does it take to be accepted? It didn't take very long. That father accepted that boy immediately. And you know, if you haven't trusted Jesus as your Savior, you can trust Him today. And He will accept you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, and thou shalt be saved. And that brings us to believe. How long does it take to be converted? Well, how long does it take to believe? How many of you have ever wondered about something and you troubled yourself about it? Maybe you did a little research on it, and all of a sudden one day, bing, the light goes on. And you see, salvation can be that way. You do have to know a certain amount of things, not a lot, just that you're a sinner. Jesus is the Son of God, and He died for your sins. When you believe those things, the Lord will forgive your sins. Acts chapter 16, verse 31. You remember the story of Paul and Silas and the jailer. The jailer thrust them into the stocks, into the inner prison. He laid stripes on them and thrust them into the prison and locked them up tight. And what an experience. Every time I read that, I wonder, how would I weather that storm? How would I get through that experience, the situation? Paul and Silas sat with their feet in the stocks, and they sang praises to the Lord, and they prayed. And I think all the prisoners must have heard them and repented, because when the Lord sent that earthquake and shook the bars and doors off that prison, the jailer came running in, drew his sword, and he was about to kill himself, because if you lost your prisoners as a Roman jailer, you forfeited your own life. And he was about to commit suicide. He didn't want to trust the tender mercies of the Roman authorities. And Paul said, do thyself no harm. We're all here. Why were they all there? I preached in prison one time, and I preached on that passage. And I said, what would happen around here if the bars and the gates and the windows all fell out? And the guys all said, yeah, you know what would happen. We'd be gone. But they said, Paul said to the jailer, we're all here. Do thyself no harm. And the next thing we know, the Bible says the jailer came and he fell down before Paul and Silas, and he didn't know a lot. But he knew what he'd heard that night. They'd been preaching, they'd been praying, and he'd heard enough to know what it was to be saved. And He said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul said, "Believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Believe. And one more. How long does it take to be converted? Well, how long does it take to call? Romans 10 verse 12 says, "The Lord is rich unto all that call upon him." Romans 10, 13 says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Whosoever shall call. 1 John says he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. Propitiation is just a big word. It means he's the payment. He's the satisfaction. He's a propitiation for our sins and for the sins of the whole world. I am not a Calvinist. And all I know about Calvin is that he tied Baptists together by the neck and marched them through the river and drowned them in mockery of their insistence on baptism of believers only and baptism by immersion. That's all I need to know. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord." If you will call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, the Bible says he will save you. I remember the story of Bartimaeus. Love that story. Jesus was coming to town, and Bartimaeus heard that Jesus was coming, and he couldn't see. He was blind, so he didn't know how to position himself. But as the crowd got noisier, he could tell that Jesus must be approaching, and he began to cry out, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me!" And the scribes and the Pharisees were standing by, and they tried to hush him up. "Bartimaeus, be quiet. Jesus is a dirty old blind man. Be quiet. Jesus hasn't got time for you." And the more they hushed him, the louder he got, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And he kept crying. And when Jesus got to where Bartimaeus was, he said, "Bring him to me." And I think those same hypocrites that tried to hush him up were the ones who took him up and brought him to Jesus. Doesn't matter who did, but he came to Jesus. And Jesus said, "Son, what wouldst thou?" And he said, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus restored his sight, his physical sight and his spiritual sight. He trusted the Lord Jesus as his Savior. Peter was out on the water. He said to the Lord, "If it be thou, bid me come to thee on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." Peter got out of the boat and began to walk toward the Lord and took a few steps. That's pretty good. Did you ever walk on water? He took a few steps, and then he saw the wind and the waves and the thunder and the lightning and the mist in his face, and he realized what he was doing, and started to go down, and he said, "Lord, help me. Lord, save me," is what he said. "Lord, save me." Three words. And Jesus reached down and pulled him up out of those dark, murky waters, and he will reach down for you too. How long does it take to call? The thief on the cross. We love that story, don't we? Two thieves on the cross, one on either side of Jesus. The Bible says they both derided him and cast the same in his teeth. They ridiculed him. They said, "If thou be the Son of God, come down off the cross and save thyself and save us." And I don't know what happened. The Bible doesn't tell us. Doesn't give us all the details about a lot of things. But something happened in the heart of that one thief, and he turned and he believed and he trusted. And he said to the other thief, he said, we receive the just deserts of our sins, but this man has done nothing amiss. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And remember the words of Jesus. He said, "This day." It was not a long agonizing process. He said, "This day shalt thou be with me in paradise." What a wonderful promise. Paul got saved and he He said, Lord, what wouldst thou have me to do? He knew immediately there was something to do for the Lord Jesus. And he called him Lord. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads for just a moment. And let me ask you this question. Have you been converted to Christ? I'm not asking if you're a church member. There are millions of church members going to hell. Church membership doesn't save anybody. Never did and it never will. I'm not asking if you've been baptized. Baptism doesn't save anybody. It's a beautiful picture for the believer that declares their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive their sins and save their soul. It pictures their belief in the resurrection, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's what Jesus did that saves us, not what we do or any other man does. Jesus died on the cross to save us from our sins. Have you trusted him? Have you believed on him? Have you come to him? Have you turned around and left your sins and come to Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you called on him? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Maybe you're here this morning. I'm not going to come to you or embarrass you in any way. But if you're here today and you would say, no, I have never trusted the Lord Jesus as my Savior, but I would like to today. Is anyone like that? I have not trusted Jesus as my Savior, but I would like to trust him today. I would like to come to him. I would like to receive him, accept him. All right, I'm going to ask the pianist to come. Let's stand, please, with heads bowed and eyes closed. If you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, I encourage you to come. Come down front, take this pastor by the hand, and let him know that you would like to be saved. If you're here as a Christian, and there's some other need in your heart or your life that you need to get right with the Lord, I encourage you to come. Just step out from where you are, and as the piano plays, you just come. You can kneel and pray here at this altar, this platform, or one of these chairs up front. If God's spoken to your heart, let him have his will in your heart, your life. Thank you.